How's it coming with the scripture reading? Is it coming? I see a lot of heads nodding, not too many looking too guilty there. That's good. In case you're just joining us, we do a yearly reading plan through scripture, and we tend to preach from it. I say tend to because I'm not this morning. I felt like God wanted me to go in another direction, and I think Dennis did last week too. But this is our reading plan. We've got additional copies. This will take us through the Old and the New Testament in 3 years. In 3 years, and so it's very doable. It's very easy. And I just encourage you. I tend to do my reading all at one time because I like, to read from chapter to chapter and get the continuity. But I just wanted to encourage you. Keep going. Keep going. We've just started, really, and it's easy to catch up if you've fallen behind with a plan like this. So, because remember, we've done the whole New Testament in a year. We've done the entire Bible in a year. We've done it in 2 years. So we can do this. Let's pray again. Father, help us as we look into your word. Sharpen our minds. Help our hearts to be attentive, to sit under your word, not to place ourselves over it. To listen to you and to your spirit. Thank you that you speak through your word unlike any other place. We are hungry for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard someone say, if I don't learn this lesson from God, I'll have to keep learning it over and over again until I get it right? You ever heard someone say that? I've heard it. And it's easy to think that way when it seems like the same old troubles, same old worries keep coming back. But I'm not so sure that God always works that way. You know? Yeah, we have to make progress in our lives with him. We can't keep committing the same old sins over and over again and just say, oh, forgive me, without making his heart sad. That's what Scripture says, that we grieve the Spirit of God when we do that. And we don't want to grieve the Spirit because the Spirit of God is a source of joy in our own hearts and lives. The sense of God's presence with us comes through the Spirit of God. So this whole thing about learning and relearning, it sounds, I don't know, almost even a little too close to something like cycles of reincarnation for my taste, you know? And the Bible tells us that God is a God of mercy and compassion. He's the one who saves us. We don't save ourselves by having to, get things right. Yes, we have to get things right, but it's through his Spirit and strength that we do so. So the beautiful thing is that his love goes into every detail of our lives. There's not a place where his Spirit cannot reach us to help us. There's not a weak place where he cannot strengthen us. There's not a place where we're despairing and sad, where God cannot come in and give us hope. He is able to make us stronger in the broken places. And sometimes that takes time, doesn't it? But he can do it. He can do it. Think of the addict who is strong enough to go into a place, the former addict who is strong enough to go in and clean up needles from the room of someone he's trying to help. I've seen God do that. No one is stronger than he is. He's able to help us in those places where we once were tempted, to move into new places of strength, and to understand that we, in being a new creation in Christ, have power within us, no matter how bad things may seem, to overcome through His presence, through His love, through His cross. He really sets us free. And there's a great example in John of how deep God will go in His tenderness with us to make us new and to help us live into a new place with Him. And again, it's not in our reading this week, but as soon as I heard about it and learned it, I had to go there. My new friend John Trent, a Christian author who writes a lot about love and family, and we've been on some parallel roads in life, and got to spend a little time with him at this conference, and he shared this insight with a group of us, and I'd love to pass it on to you. It has to do with Peter and what happened after he denied Jesus. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 21, the last chapter of John, right before the book of Acts, if you're looking for it. The full story is in John 1, 1 through 17, but because the story is familiar, I'll just fill in some details, and we'll pick it up in verse 9. Here we go. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." We'll just go ahead. We'll go ahead and stop right there. So this is after Jesus rose from the dead. And the disciples have seen him twice already. And, you know, this is before the Spirit comes at Pentecost. And they're waiting, and they have to eat. So besides joining constantly in prayer, which is what Acts 1:14 tells us they did, they went fishing. And when they're out fishing, something happens that looks so familiar, at least to three of them, Peter, James, and John. They've been fishing all night. They've caught nothing. And then Jesus shows up on the shore, and they don't recognize him. They simply see this stranger who says, because there's a distance, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" Again, at this point, Jesus is just a guy standing on the shore. No, fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus says, "Put your nets out on the right side," and as soon as they do, impact. so many fish, they can't haul the net in. Now, go back to Luke 5, and you see why it's familiar. Before they really knew Jesus, Peter and James and John had been fishing all night. And Jesus comes along and tells them, put their nets in another place, and so many fish hit the nets that they start to break. Sound familiar? And Peter responds, get these words because they're important. And by the way, there is so much that we could look at here, but we don't have time to look at all of this morning. I mean, you could spend weeks on this. Peter responds in Luke 5, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus tells him at that point, you know, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. Now, what Jesus is doing here, it's interesting. John immediately catches on. It's John who says, it's the Lord. And when Peter hears John say that, I don't know, maybe John's eyesight was better. But John's certainly remembering also what happened before that Luke records. Peter jumps out of the boat, goes to Jesus. This is where it gets even more interesting. Where is Jesus standing? Jesus standing on the shore, but he's standing by a charcoal fire. Okay. There is only one other place in Scripture where a charcoal fire is mentioned. Where do you think that might be? Oh, bullseye, you got it. When Peter denies Jesus, there in the courtyard, he is warming his hands over a charcoal fire. John 18, 18. And it's there in that familiar setting that Jesus turns to him. The same one who at one point said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And it's interesting, the fact that Peter initially just says, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus follows up each time with something for Peter to do. Remember that for Jesus, love is equated with what we do. If you love me, you will obey my commands. So in other words, love for Jesus isn't just how we feel about him. It's about following him. And when Jesus asks Peter a third time, one time for each of the times he denied him, Peter's hurt. But he knows why. Each time that Peter affirms that he loves him, Jesus says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And there's more that we could go into there, but the point is that even though Peter has messed up, and Jesus knows it, remember Luke tells us Jesus turned and looked at Peter and he went out and wept bitterly, right? Jesus is going back to that place and it's like he's saying, Peter, I know. I know. But I've got something for you to do. All is forgiven, Peter. Take care of my lambs. That's the first thing he says. Take care of them. That's the position of a shepherd. That's the position of a leader. Jesus is putting Peter back in a place of leadership. I know what you did, Peter. But it doesn't stop me from loving you, and it doesn't stop me from being faithful to you. I'm still yours. You have fallen. Peter, get up. Get up. Now is the time for you to get up. Come on. We have things to do together. That's his heart. I love this passage because it shows us Jesus' heart when you and I mess up as well. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Does he expect us to do better? Oh, yes. Will he help us? Absolutely. But the whole setting, Jesus just kind of gently but very directly leads Peter out of where he was into a new place. And this is why we want to walk with him. Because his mercies really are new every morning. He doesn't chide us over past sins. He calls us to look to him, to follow him. He meets us even in the places of our worst failures and loves us even there. How different that is from our adversary, the devil, whose name literally means the accuser, the number of times that it occurs in the New Testament. Scripture speaks of the accuser of the brethren being thrown down. Scripture says of our Savior that he shall overcome him by the breath of his mouth. That is the one who loves you. That is the one who is on your side. That is the one. How could we not follow? How could we not want to follow? One who knows how weak we are and how we may fail, even one like a rock, Peter. But still comes to us through his Spirit, because his Spirit is Jesus' presence with us, to say, let's go. Take my hand. There's more. There's so much more. Don't stay in that place. Don't let the accuser keep reminding you. We have things to do together. And how beautiful it is when he uses sinners whom he has set free through his cross and through his salvation to then bring others, often others who struggle in the same way. Because you can speak into the hearts and lives of people who have been into those same difficult places you have been. You know what God has done for you. You know, it's one of the things I love watching in my son, because I think of how when God saved him out of heroin addiction and brought him into this new place with Jesus. He and I sometimes, we'd go and speak together at a place like, you know, helping families with addicts. And as soon as Jeff got up, you know, I mean, for me, some of the addicts sitting there who had seen some parts of life that I hadn't seen were like, well, you're just a preacher. But as soon as Jeff got up, it was like, you've been there. I'm going to listen to you. And you have that too. You have that too in your broken places. If you let him. And yeah, sometimes it's hard to go back there and realize, you know, I didn't deny him just once. Three times standing here by this charcoal fire. Oh, this looks too familiar. You can imagine what's going through Peter's head. But look at him afterwards. And so I just wonder for you and me, what is it? Where does he say to you, feed my sheep? Take care of my lambs. Maybe it's someone in the church who needs compassion. Maybe it's a sheep who hasn't come back to him yet, whom he is out searching for, right? That you could speak a word to in love. Places to go. May we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Jesus, thank you that you are tender with us, but direct. Thank you that you have a future for us in your love and in your spirit. Help us to be your humble servants who love others to you. Beggars telling others where they found bread, yes. But also children of the King. Thank you, Lord, for that kind of love that claims us and sets us free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Savior who goes so deep that he would take bread and break it and say, this is my body that is broken for you. Take, eat. Who would pick up the cup and say, this cup is the new covenant, the new agreement with God. in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. The perfect sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, able to forgive us of anything through what he did for us at the cross. If we will come to him, if we will turn from our sins, repent of them and turn to him, he will meet us and save us and give us his peace. So as we come to this table, that's how we come. This isn't just something we do every month. This is a way of reminding ourselves, Lord, I understand what you did for me. I receive it. I receive you. This is a way of being serious about our sins, recognizing, you know, if I go out and just keep committing the same sin, that grieves the Spirit of God. I don't want to do that. I want more of him in my life and in my heart, because apart from him, I got nothing. So that's how we come to this table, humbling ourselves before him, turning from our sins, turning to him. And we encourage you, we serve an open communion, all who have received Jesus, who believe in him, who come that way, are most welcome here. Father, bless us to walk with you, to love you. Thank you, Lord, for leading us into life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would our leadership team come up? And Ken will be available for prayer if anyone has special need of prayer. Please stop by. Let's come as the Lord leads. Thank you. love the Irish heart of my own heart. That's a good place to walk into the week. You know, if the adversary, the devil, tries to remind you again and again of where you've messed up, thank the Lord that he's forgiven you. Praise Jesus that he has. If you find yourself in a place of temptation, call on him in that moment. Let him in. It's like turning on the lights when you walk into a dark room and suddenly whatever was there scatters. Father, thank you that you love us in the tender places, and that in so doing you make us stronger still. Fill us afresh with your Spirit as we walk into this world, that we may be faithful witnesses and clearly your children. Thank you for the beauty of all you are and all you have done and all you will do that we have not begun to fathom. We look forward to you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say. Amen. Hope you'll stick around for lunch, but if not, go in peace. God bless us all.
Used to be with Appalachian.